SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And so nice to to be sitting upright and have something to do this morning, and that being bringing you a show after a unexpected and, let me tell you, unpleasant couple of weeks. This has really been a strange experience for me, and I'm just happy. I feel good enough to, you know, to do the show live. I appreciate everybody. It has been so nice. Overwhelmingly supportive and encouraging and well wishes, all the nice things that people have said and done. I received some fruit baskets. That was too kind. Kevin McIntyre and his wife, and actually Chad Brown's folks, Jerry and Patty Brown, sent a fruit basket, which was just too nice, and visits and I have cards in the mail and Facebook and Twitter, everywhere. People have been really nice. And I can only tell you that, you know, it's kind of evolving here a little bit. I can't really do anything with the eye yet, but the right one is working. tell you what's funny, the depth perception. Yeah, Tina was laughing at me the other day. We had a cup of ice, and I took a spoon and I went to go put the ice in the glass of sparkling water, and I completely missed the cup. It was very funny. It's like an airport, a drinking problem. So it's taking some getting used to, and it's going to take a couple of months apparently before we know what's going on in there. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody. I got to tell you. The retina associates, Dr. Falk down in Albany, and she's got a couple of young assistants that have been great. I got to go back again Monday and see where things stand. You know, they put a gas bubble in there that I don't know, and then it takes 2 months for this thing to dissipate. And I'm just lucky it'll be the bubble will be gone by the time we have to fly to California for Breeders' Cup, because that I don't remember what I told you on Tuesday. You know, on Tuesday 2 weeks ago, when I knew that, you know, we're waiting for the on call for a surgery, I don't know if I made them laugh or I know Tina was not happy with me, but I. When we saw them on Monday, and I said, can this wait till after Labor Day? They said, no, no. We would do it this afternoon if we could. So 24 hours later, there I was. And the laying on the side part, you have to lay on your side, or some people have to lay face down. I thank God I didn't have to do that, because that can't be that's got to be even worse than laying on the right side for, you know, hours and hours on end. And then when you get up, you get nauseous, you get dizzy, you get and this is, you know, not to, I'm sure that a lot of you have had, you know, various things that you know, that you've dealt with. I had never had anesthesia of any kind, really, and so the whole thing was just a I don't know. Is it a prequel to getting old? I am going to be 60 in November. Is this the direction we're going, I'm going to turn back now. The uplifting part, of course, was being able to follow the racing action, and there's so much to cover. We'll hit, you know, a lot of highlights today. I wanted to get back today and tomorrow. You know, first of all, for the weekend, of course, Alabama Day Saturday at the Spa, as we move toward the, you know, the final three big weekends, and then out west, it's Pacific Classic Day on Saturday, and the rest of the supporting racing, outstanding. The Oaks out there, and Chad Brown will try to, you know, continue his, you know, assault on the record book and on the stakes front, sending out a pair that looked very tough in there, in that Del Mar Oaks. The Pack Classic came up really entertaining. We always make the joke about the player, Michael Tolkien's The Player, and no stars, just talent. There may not be a lot of stars in that Pack Classic, but there's some just good, hard hitting stake horses. And you know, the top four, particularly well matched, and it'll make for a great betting race, and it'll make for a great lead in on the West Coast toward the Awesome again in the fall, the autumn meet at Santa Anita, and into Breeders' Cup. And of course, back here, we also have to fit into the recap that, you know, with me not available to talk about it, but the Whitney and McKinsey, the more you watch it, the more impressive it gets. An absolute demolition. I mean, to have a horse beat a, you know, quality field and do it with such authority, that was a statement performance. Don't know if the statement will extend to the mile and a quarter. McKinsey's got that question that he's had to answer repeatedly, and that's kind of dogged him a little bit. But, boy, oh, boy, Baffert's got to be absolutely thrilled with that effort. And, of course, McKinsey, a horse that has got a lot of emotion tied to him, given his namesake, the late Brad McKinsey, and Baffert's friendship with him, Mike Pegram's friendship, and everybody from Los Al that had such respect and affection for Brad McKinsey. And so for this really to be, you know, the horse that gets Baffert a Whitney to add to his Hall of Fame resume, that's kind of special. There was a lot of special and emotion-packed circumstances over the last couple of weeks. It was kind of amusing that people say Baffert's first Whitney. He'd only run one other horse in it. It's not like Baffert had been stalking a Whitney for 20 years. He ran one other horse, so that kind of made me smile a little bit. One of the best stories of the last 2 weeks involved one horse. Yeah, we're going to talk to Mark Cassie first after the first break at about 9:20. I got a bunch of things to cover, so we'll take a little bit of a late break out of this first comeback segment. But got Stormy. Comes back a week ago, in the De La Rose. De La Rose is always one of my favorite races. And I've said this forever, races that have that condition, horses that have not won a sweepstakes over whatever. Sometimes it's a calendar year. Sometimes it's the last 6 months, whatever it is. It's always good. They're always terrific because it invariably has got all stake horses that for one reason or another have just been unable to participate or, you know, have fallen short. So that's always a good barometer, and Got Stormy's performance in that De La Rose was tremendous. And off the layoff, and then to come back 7 days later and do what she did against Uni, another mayor, and all the boys in the grade one four-star Dave set a course record and do it just in, I mean, facile, dominant, just awesome. That's one of the best performances you're going to see this year, period, and may stand the test of time for a while. And the interesting part, of course, was how everybody had to juxtapose Tyler Gaffalione not being able to ride back because they had already taken the call on March to the Arch. And so Ricardo Santana Jr., who's having a tremendous Saratoga, Santana gets the mount, and I thought was a great fit. And you have to know that Got Stormy was going to sit right behind the speed, and the way the turf course had been playing, this is the third turf course record in 10 days or so, 2 weeks. The turf course, you know, we had the rain early, but we haven't had much rain since. We've had a couple of spats here and there, but the turf courses are super slick. So, Got Stormy. We'll talk with Cassie, who's had a whole bunch of terrific performances all over the place. And we'll get caught up with Mark. We'll see what's going on with Wara Will, who appears to be bypassing Travers, but we'll get the latest from him. So much to cover, and there's a couple things I've got to talk about in the first segment, but, you know, from the top line, of course, Chad Brown's performance at Arlington on Saturday, Bricks and Mortar, Sister Charlie, Valid Point, and even Cafe Americano put the exclamation point on the stakes sweep, the graded stakes anyway, an unprecedented effort from a training standpoint. Bricks and Mortar is just so exciting and fun to watch, and he continues to state his case and build a platform toward a Horse of the Year candidacy. And has got a growing phalanx of support. Sister Charlie, who everybody says, she's the champ, but all she does is go out and win again. And she repeats, first time as a repeater, Beverly D. A Valid Point step forward. And, you know, everybody was looking at Fog of War and the E5 sophomore, Valid Point, wins the Secretariat. And, you know, Chad's, one thing's notable, you know, those three grade ones with three different riders. Arad wins on Bricks and Mortar. Johnny V, who may have woken up yesterday at Saratoga, by the way, had been sleepwalking through the first half of the meet. And then suddenly yesterday, three wins. So maybe Johnny coming alive here for the last 15 days. And Javier Castellano on Valid Point. So three grade ones, three separate ownership and connection winners. So much more. Jimmy Jerkins with Green Light Go. Great for Jimmy to have a big two-year-old. How cool is that? That was in the Saratoga Special, on and on. We got California to talk about. Congratulations to Jerry Hollendorfer. Danuska's my girl. Wires that Rancho Bernardo. And the Dorf starting to get things going and a return to normalcy. And very pleased for him. I hope to talk to Mark Glatt. How about Mark Glatt? One thing to have the two-year-old Collusion Illusion, who mild surprise in the Best Pal, but I'm sure as excited as he and the connections are about that horse, Mark Glatt won himself a Long Acres Mile. And as a Pacific Northwest family, got to be a special win for him. Law-abiding citizen. Big effort in the Long Acres Mile. The big day at Emerald. We're going to talk to Debbie Easter this morning in the first hour because that was one of the things that really, so many things that I had to miss over the last 2 weeks. And missing Colonial's reopening. We're going to talk to Deb about the opening. almost, I mean, obviously not single-handedly, but Deb Easter, the engine on the train that made Colonial go, and her efforts, tireless, to the detriment in the short term of her own business, and her efforts to breathe new life into Colonial, could not be happier, and I can't wait to talk to her. And all the reports from New Kent, enthusiastic and delighted to have Colonial back up and running. And they had some of the Virginia bred stakes return home, like the Meadow Stable and the Gilpin and so forth, the Ned Evans. And there's going to be more of those with the action returning to Colonial. So we'll talk to Deb. And then it's Thursday. So Tony Black, I couldn't be at the Hall of Fame ceremony, which really, really very frustrating. After all these years to get Tony on the stage, and he brought the house down. He was the absolute star of the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies a week ago Friday. And he had an amazing experience, of course, with all the other Hall of Famers and people that come to town for the Hall doings every year. So we're going to talk to Tony. Steve Haskins, Steve and Joan came out with the Friedbergs. Avi and Rhoda, they came and visited the other day on Sunday. And so did Neil Kleinberg, our partners on the horses. And we'll talk to Steve. And Lenny Shulman's in town. Lenny has got a book signing coming up this weekend, and Jennifer Kelly, too, with her Sir Barton autobiography. Jen's in town as well. So lots to do yet this morning. And as we head to the break, we've got two pieces of really sad news. And I have no choice in this early segment, but to deal with two passings while we were away. And Richard Hazelton, at the age of 88, known to generations of players and owners and fans, and first as a writer and then as a brilliant, very successful horseman. The Arizona to Chicago tie. I know that a lot of people people go from Chicago to Arizona. But Richard Hazelton, as talented a horseman as his generation produced, and of course Scott's father as well, and particularly known with the development of juveniles. He'd get them going in the winter, early in the season, and then blow everybody away with fully prepared juvenile stars when the season started in Chicago. Won 4,800 races. And just absolutely revered and admired and appreciated by players and owners and management. I mean, just a flood of appreciations for Hazelton and sympathies toward the family and Scott and everybody. The other passing is tougher to talk about. The news last week that just as stunned and just torn the hearts out of countless people in New York. Carmen Barrera, at 60 years old, did not wake up last Thursday. We're at the funeral in West Hempstead on Tuesday, and she was as wonderful and as animated and delightful as a racetrack person would ever be in an impossible job in the Horseman's Relations Office. She will be missed by everybody who knew her at all. Even if you just came one time to pick up tickets, if you were had a stake runner in New York, we just loved Carmen, and no one can believe she's gone. Happy to be back here, and Mark Cassie starts us when we come back.
Summer is one of the best times for serious horse players to bet their races. Saratoga and Del Mar are in full swing, along with other top tracks like Gulfstream and Laurel. And ExpressBet puts them all at your fingertips. Plus, ExpressBet customers can play in exclusive tournaments and promotions this summer, and new customers can earn a $500 sign-up bonus. Visit ExpressBet.com today. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Dick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races, 20 plus into hour one on this Thursday, and one of the bright notes that actually, you know, my coming back is fine, and you know, we knew it was only going to be a couple of weeks. The bigger return that is unseen, and right now you haven't heard from yet, but we will get a chance. Back in the studio, Casey is sitting in, and we'll talk to Casey in a little bit because just so thrilled. He's home after extensive stays in hospital, and sent me a picture, looks good, and is feeling better, has got plenty to deal with yet, but is at least home and can work on getting healthy from home and for now and hopefully going forward, and is getting into the studio whenever he can. Deja on the board today too, but you'll hear from Casey, and that is even more heartening as we get going here after a summer hiatus that we didn't expect. I got a kick out of some of the emails. Are you on vacation? No, I would not be on vacation in the middle of Saratoga. There's actually the amazing thing about this is in 15 years, we've had two things like this, and they've both come at this time of year in August, when my mother, 10 years ago, when my mother died. and I was gone a week, and now this crazy eye situation. Anyway, so hopefully it'll be another 10 years before I have to take any time off. Mark Cassie is standing by. Cassie took very little time off, and neither did Got Stormy. And what a week plus for Gary Barber, who, if you weren't looking, won about seven races over the weekend. But the Got Stormy win was so impressive, and it came under such interesting conditions that Mark Cassie, a perfect first guest as we return. Mark, congratulations. I hear him back there. No? Well, how are we doing? No? Dej? See about, yeah, I hear, it sounds like, I wonder if you put the phone down. All right. Well, we'll, now he's gone. All right. We'll try again to get Mark back. And, you know what this, yeah, call him back. Although it does sound a little bit like maybe he had another call come in and he might have taken the other call, because what happens is, you know, owner's call. Those pesky owners, you know, when you got a couple of dozen big owners, you got to take those calls. So we'll get Mark, and we want to get clarification. There, you know, a couple of different reports about how this all came down with Got Stormy. And by the way, I'll use the Got Stormy as we wait for Mark. For those of you that are playing the Beat Bick contest, I went right back to the well with her. I used her in the De La Rose, and when she was announced as running, I knew she wasn't losing. So it went right back to her again, and I don't know why. Some of you, only 50 of you came along with me. But we've got about, I think, 700 people have qualified for the Beat Bick Challenge. So we're getting, you know, we've got about, we're halfway through, basically. All right. Let me see if we got Mark now. Mark Cassie. There he is. How you doing?
I'm great, Steve. Good to have you back.
I appreciate it, and it was great to see one of those things that you know, the sport doesn't, frankly, see enough of. And Got Stormy wins the De La Rose in basically a canter. I mean, what essentially was a workout, and the opportunity to run back in a Grade One, qualify for the Breeders' Cup Mile, all expenses paid. I mean, talk about what went into the decision.
Well, I mean, I have to be honest. You know, Gary Barber, there's not too many owners out there that could take the scrutiny of such a decision. But he's one of them. And he pushed me for it. You know, he said, let's... Right after the race, he called me, and I was getting ready to go in the winner's circle after the De La Rose, and he said, let's run her back in the four-star, Dave. And I went like, having a tough time hearing you, you know. But one thing about it, Gary and I have just the best relationship, and we can talk about things. And he said to me at that point in time, I really would like to run her. And so I gave him all the reasons we should, and he goes, oh, those are all nice, but let's enter her and see. But he told me at the time, he said, if at any point you tell me she isn't herself, we won't run. And so, you know, each day when I'll tell you a little funny thing about, I think it maybe was Monday, I said to him, Gary, because I'm still not warming up to the idea real well. But I said to him, Gary, she left half of her feet. He said, well, you fed her twice as much, didn't you? Because he knows I won't lie to him. So he knows if I tell him that she did eat half her feet, she did eat half her feet. And I just laughed at him. And so it was every day. That was the first thing that, you know, when he's obviously he's on the West Coast, so he gets up a little later than I do. And that was always the first question. And I guess it was we walked her Tuesday, we jogged her on Wednesday. On Thursday, we turned around and we galloped her, and she went by me, and I looked at Jamie Begg, who is my assistant at Saratoga in New York. I said, I don't think I've ever seen her better. And so we waited to get Martine Rivera, who galloped her all the time, back. I didn't say a word. I said, what do you think, Martine? He goes, she's never been better. Well, that's kind of all you had to tell was Gary, and we knew what we knew where we were going, you know. So she's an amazing horse. We just trained her about 20 minutes ago. It was her first day back. We gave her, I think we gave her an extra day off. And she came back and said, when am I running next? She's amazing. Even the next day, she walked around like, is that the best she could do? So she, she is on top of the world. She thinks she can beat anybody. Well, and you've heard me say it a million times, Steve. I go back to that, what I, you know, Alan Jerkins said to me, run them when they're good.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, knowing that, you know, she had been away since May, since, you know, since the distaff mile, the way she won the De La Rose, I mean, just sort of going away where she basically cantered around for, you know, for three quarters and then just, you know, kind of exploded home. That was more or less a mile plus workout. It just felt perfect. Well, and in addition, right? I mean, you have
I'm laughing because after the race, Tyler said somewhere, well, that was just a workout for her. So, of course, Gary took a picture of that and sent it to me because, you know, him and I were still going back and forth. And we agree 99% of the time. Both of us are, you know, one of the reasons why we have such a great relationship is that we think alike. And, you know, but, I mean, we were opening ourselves up for, I've been fortunate to accomplish a lot of things in my life as far as training goes. And if I'd run her and she ran bad or something happened to her, it was going to be my... that would have been what I would have been remembered for. It wouldn't be. So you got to be, you know, it's a little scary.
Sure.
But my thought was somebody said to me after we surprised she won, I said, not at all. I really felt like she would win. Was I surprised she ran a second faster than the track record? And she won with the ease that she did? Yeah, that was surprising. It reminded me of, I can't remember the name of the race, but Teppan had gotten really good, and Teppan was good, and I knew she was good. But we ran her, I want to say it was something like the First Lady or something like that at Keeneland in the fall, right before the Breeders' Cup. And after she won with ease, I mean, my mouth was wide open. And my mouth was wide open the other day just in awe of being able to beat such a quality field, be able to beat the Colts. But the ease in which she did it is just remarkable. Ricardo came back and he said, wow, it's unbelievable. He was just like amazing. And you know what's made her, helped her as she's gotten older? Well, we have a little thing that we do. And I try to run my young horses, but then I try to give them a break, and we do some stuff. A lot of credit goes to our place in Ocala with Mitch Downs, as you know. You know, sure, all about Mitch. Not everybody knows about our training center, but that filly, you know, she went to Ocala in the fall, and when she came back, we ran her right off the training center. I think 8 days off the training center when she won at Gulfstream. And she was quite, you know, that was a very good race. So, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of, you know, some of these horses. The World Approvals, the Teppans, the Sir Winston, they didn't start out great. They became great. And I'm proud of that. You know, where a horse like Warren Will, he was always great. So, I'm extremely proud of her. I am.
Well, there's a lot. And there's a lot that can be folded into this, and you know, the 7 days was one thing. The commitment that that Tyler had already had to march to the Arch, taking that call before, you know, you guys had made the move to, right, you know, run and made the decision. Ricardo Santana, not somebody that you particularly use that often either. I mean, that was
now,
that had people confused.
Well, things happen funny. If you got time, I'm going to tell you two stories. I'm going to tell you a story that most people don't know. But as far as what happened there, you know, Tyler had made a commitment to march the Arch, you know, early on, of course, right after he ran his first race. And, you know, when we decided to run her, I said to Gary, I said, Gary, he said, well, I guess Tyler can make a choice. I said, he doesn't get to make a choice. I said, he's going to ride March to the Arch. I'm not giving him a choice. He made a commitment. He made a commitment to Mrs. Weber, and we're not going to challenge that. And you know what Gary said? Absolutely, I agree 100%. So now, you know, Saturday was a difficult day for riders because
Chicago.
Because of Chicago, you know, there were a lot of big riders out of town. So we came down to, we're looking at our choices, and there weren't a lot of them, to be honest, especially that could get anywhere near the weight she was in, which was 114. Ricardo ended up being 2 pounds overweight. But Ricardo rode a horse for me earlier, a week earlier, called Ghoul. And I asked him, I seldom give instructions, but I asked him to put him on the lead or have him close to it. And he did, and he came back, and he said, I'm not sure that's exactly how he wants to run, boss, but, you know, he did what I asked him to do, which I very seldom give instructions. So when we were deciding who to ride, Gary and I were having the discussion. I said, one thing about Ricardo, I said, I love his attitude. I love, he's a lot like Tyler, very outgoing, just a happy guy. And I said, and he listens, Gary, and there's a specific way we want this filly to be rode. And I know he'll ride her that way. And you know what? That was why he rode her.
Well, and he's rewarded.
He's sure not, you know, Ricardo's not known for his turf riding. But Ricardo's won a lot of big races. And he's a cool, calm customer and gave her just a perfect ride. And you know who gave him all the help and the instructions too, is Tyler. Tyler went to him and said, you know, this is her. But she's Tyler's horse. Afterwards, I said to everybody, no, it's Tyler's. Because one of the reasons she has become who she's become is because of Tyler. Because of Tyler's ability to get her to relax in the races. So, so that's the story. Now I have to tell you, I'll tell you a funny story. We're out in California about, it had to be, I don't know, 6 years ago or something. And I had a horse, I'm trying to think of his name right. He's by Sky Mesa. I have a lot of Sky, so that's why. But he won the Best Pal and, what's his name? The guy who rode Smarty Jones,
Stuart Elliott.
Stuart Elliott rode it. And he won the Best Pal in a gallop. So a couple of days later, Stuart Elliott's walking over to help Bob Baffert breed some horses. And because Bob's exercise rider got hurt, and he gets kicked in the ribs and breaks his ribs.
Absolutely. Yep.
So now I have the riders lined up because everybody wants to ride him in the Futurity because he's going to be the big favorite in the Del Mar Futurity. I had Espinosa, he'd ridden some horses for me. Corey was riding a good filly for me at the time. So about 3 days before entries, I said to Victor and his agent, I said, I've made a decision. I said, I'm going to let Corey ride the horse. And they said, okay. So I guess I saw him day before entries, and I said to his agent, were you able to pick up anything for the Futurity? Because I picked up some maiden for Bob, that he's going to run American.
That was Skyway, by the way.
Skyway. So yeah, exactly, Skyway. I just couldn't. I wanted to call him Skywire, but Skywire is my horse. I ran in my plate. But the reason for my story is there's so many things that can happen to change your life and to do things, and there you go. There's a book out, I think it's called, think of the name of it right this second. I'll think about it, but it tells about how successful people, one, not only do you have to work hard, but you have to get lucky in life, and there you go. There's a story about American Pearl. Not many people know that story. So had I chosen Victor Espinosa, he wouldn't have been known for writing American Pearl.
It could have been, who knows, it could have been Van Dyke, it could have been Talamo.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the vagaries that go on. Before I ask you about a couple more things about God Stormy, we should tie up the loose end on Gaffleone and March to the Arch, because frankly, you ran into just bad luck the way the noses were bobbing for March to the Arch not to be second or third, had to settle for fourth.
We could have finished 1-2.
Absolutely.
That would have been something. But he did get a little unlucky with the head bob. But he came with his A game. We thought going in, and Tyler had this conversation, and I had this conversation the day before. I said, I know you're a little disappointed. You're not getting to ride, God Stormy. He said, yes, but he said, I think I can win with March the Arch.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think you can too. I said, March the Arch is coming into this race. He had a little trouble in his first trip. And we've always felt like March to the Arch is just on the cusp of being, a grade one horse. And look, if it wasn't for God Stormy, he was only a head away from getting beat by two really good horses of Chad's. So, March to the Arch proved himself that he can play with the big boys and girls.
Yeah, exactly. And now the free pass toward the Breeders' Cup. You got plenty of options. You said she worked today, but
She didn't work. She just
not work, but I'm saying went out. Yeah. I'm saying just went out and galloped.
And Martine, her exercise rider, said, "Is there anything this week?"
Yeah, exactly.
She said she was hanging on for dear life this morning. She was jumping and. And I said, well, maybe. I mean, I guess we have the Bernard Beru at the end of the meet.
Well, what do you do? I mean, when they're this good.
Right now, the plan is to go to the Woodbine Mile. The Woodbine Mile has been very good to us. We won the Breeders' Cup, with Tepin. And then we won it with World Approval and then won the Breeders' Cup. The Woodbine Mile's been good to us. She's already ran and won. I ran her last year as a 3-year-old at Woodbine, and she just galloped there. So we already know she likes the track.
Very good. And the plan is set. And I mentioned what a tremendous weekend it was. Not just stakes, but on a bunch of different levels, exchanged a couple of notes with Gary Barber as they were flying out Saturday night. You had, and then of course Peter Miller too, with Grey Magician at Ellis mm-hmm. Park, adding to the haul. But
we had Eye in the Sky
the next day.
Gary, yep. The next day too. Which she's a filly. You haven't seen, if she stays healthy, you haven't seen the best of her. She's an extremely talented filly that just her mind gets in her way a little bit. But she's one that I could see running another start or two and then giving some time off and then, bringing her back at 4. I think she'll be a really good 4-year-old.
You've got, there's a bunch of things we could talk about. How about the 2-year-old? What about the filly win?
Which one? What do you?
The stake.
The stake. Oh, Adirondack.
Adirondack last week.
You've been away for a long time. I thought she, obviously Bill's filly got in some trouble. But, she got in a little trouble herself, and she showed a lot of gameness to win. And you know, we're going to run her back in the spinaway. She's kind of a funny filly. She only does what she has to do in the morning. But when you put her, you know, when you run her, she's a different horse. So I'm excited. She keeps getting a little better and better. So who knows? She may end up being a really good filly.
Well, and, you know, to win an Adirondack and, you know, here we are just past the midway point of the meet. You fold in, you know, four-star Dave and the other, you got, I think, seven or eight wins to this mm-hmm. point. And, you know, you were uncertain. We talked before the meet and you weren't sure what you had coming into this, and it's going good.
Yeah, because I've come into this meet before thinking yeah. that I was doing good. But you know what? A couple of the years, we were really unlucky. We'd lose four or five races by noses or heads. And, you know, if you get half of those to go your way, of those, then, you have a good meet. This year we were a little – we've been lucky in some spots. We've still been unlucky in – we got very unlucky. We ran Super Comet in the Amsterdam. Obviously, the winner went really easy, but Super Comet never had a shot. For about the first five steps, he tried to fall down and still managed to run fourth. We're going to run him back in the Alan Jerkins, so I like him. And there's no doubt it's been a a good meet. Hopefully it continues. I did something a little different too. I didn't bring as many young horses up. We left a lot of them in Kentucky and South Florida. And we've come in the last few years with our young horses have nearly won Breeders' Cups with not even starting till September. So we've kind of started putting a little more emphasis on Kentucky in the summer and in the fall. So to Saratoga, I brought some more accomplished runners. We've run in a lot of stakes here.
Yeah.
And so far it's worked pretty good for us.
You know, you mentioned Comet coming out of that Amsterdam, a horse that I'm curious if you're going to consider for the Alan Jerkins, Super Stonehenge.
No, not yet. He's still getting his act together. Super Stonehenge has some issues with his air, and if he gets too excited, he loses his air. That's how he can run so good one time and so bad the next. Now, for the first time, Patrick did get him to settle a little the other day, and he came flying. But I want him to do that a few times. I'm gonna keep him on a little easier path.
Interesting, but I'm, you know, that's a horse worth following. You know, this is one of those long term situations. Mrs. Weber paid $1.3 million for the Medaglia d'Oro Dam that never really was able to put things together on the racetrack, 1.3 carats, and paired up with Spitestown, I mean, kind of a patient play here, assuming that the mare is going to produce some real runners, with time.
Yeah, I'll give you a horse that I really like that I think is going to end up being a nice horse for Mrs. Weber. Name's Tap It to Win. He's a Tap It colt, 2-year-old. He's run once. We ran him at Woodbine, and then I brought him to Saratoga Breeze this morning. Probably going to give him a start, but he's a horse that I like a lot.
Very nice.
We have another colt that I like too, and he's named after. I don't know a lot about Kentucky football, but he's named after the late quarterback. I can't even pronounce him. Lorenzen. He was the quarterback for the University of Kentucky. He passed away recently. He was, I guess, not a young guy, too. I don't know what his first name was, but I've been a colt for Tracy Farmer that we're excited about that's named after the quarterback. So, we'll see. Hopefully we're not finished just yet here at the
Very
Saratoga.
Nice. Well, and of course, perfect alibi for Tracy Farmer, who...
Right, she comes back in the spin away.
Yep.
She comes back in the spin away. We are going to pass. War Will's going to the Pennsylvania Derby. I'm going to work Moon Colony tomorrow, and if he works really good, I'm going to take him off the grass and run him on the dirt in the Smarty Jones. So and we'll see how he works tomorrow.
Well, let's get a couple of immediate questions answered as well, and proven strategies. Do we know yet if you're able to run?
Oh yeah, he's running. No, he's running in the stake tomorrow.
He is going to go in the stake. Okay, all right. So then, of course, proven strategies is the column that Len Green writes in the TDN, and the Green Group that has got so many answers for whether it's investment strategy or equine accounting and your business. And Len's going to be joining us. We're going to do a series of radio proven strategy visits. And of course, Aaron Yagoda, this is that horse we talked about back after the sale. Right.
That horse is doing really well. We've already been fortunate enough. We've already won two stakes here at Saratoga with Sky Mazes. I'm hoping after tomorrow night you can say three.
How about that?
You know, I don't know if he's good enough, but you'd have a tough time finding a horse training you better than he is. So I would be disappointed if he doesn't give us a good effort. Is he good enough? We'll see. You know, it's not ideal. We went short, then we went long, and now we're cutting back to short. But I think it's worth a try.
How about the second time? How about that second time North America runner, that Shenan, tomorrow?
Yeah, that horse has come out and he's training well. I think he'll improve off of his first race.
Well, Shenan, this is a Rip Van Winkle colt, and Eclipse, Aaron, speaking of Aaron's, that spell it with only one A, Aaron Wellman, Eclipse,
right.
And Gary, they're partnered up. This is an Aga Khan produced runner, and second North America, Shenan. This is tomorrow in the third race, I think. Yeah, third race tomorrow, Shenan, S-H-E-N-N-A-N. And
a lot of people don't know this, but that's how I met Gary. Aaron Wellman, I think one of the first horses he ever bought was a horse called Patriotic and Proud that I trained. And when he bought him, Gary bought into him. And so I started training. And, okay. That's how I met Gary through that. Yeah, through Aaron Wellman.
Nice. Well, that's one of those relationships that you can appreciate. Getting that kind of an introduction. Let me ask you about the horses that go at Ellis tomorrow too. What about the two maidens that you've got both suggested and Lynn's Map?
Suggested trained well, and I think he'll run okay. You know, he's trained well. You know, for us, we want them to run well and everything, but I don't concentrate on winning first time out, but I think that horse will run well. We're going to scratch the other colt and give him a little more time and wait and run him at Churchill. What about the amazing purses in Kentucky now? The Churchill book's now out, maiden special weight to 95,000.
Unbelievable. It is. It's amazing. You've also got maidens going at Woodbine. Looking ahead to Saturday, Pioneer of New York and Dashing Angel. You're in the Catch a Glimpse. It's got. You could answer a question mark that everybody probably thinks about. I ask this of Proctor whenever Proctor has a horse that he runs in a race that was named for a horse that he trained. So here's the Catch a Glimpse stakes. Do you make an extra effort to get a horse for a race like this?
No, not really. I think we've already won it.
Have you?
Maybe, maybe not. I don't. It's been around for a couple of years. I'm not sure we have. I like that filly a lot. We have
Western Taffy in it.
Yeah, she's a filly we feel like could be a future star, probably even on the dirt. But we're going to give it a try. You know, a good effort will get her into the Natalma. So that's what we're doing there. But it's not an easy race.
How about those two? Are both those maidens going to try in the fourth race Saturday?
They are, but they're not the. I mean,
I get it.
They're
all
okay.
Right.
They're okay.
Well, as always, we get together.
Everybody can't be stars.
Well, that's right, and you got to start somewhere. They may, like you said earlier, they might grow into something.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, and that was one part of the, we'll save part of the Got Stormy discussion for later, a $45,000 purchase, which puts her in the range of anybody involved in the sport. You could have gone to Timonium, you could have picked this horse out, $45,000, and look what you got here a year and a half later.
That's what's so great about our sport. You know that over the years, Steve, I've been fortunate enough to buy, I think I was figuring out the other day, five or six horses I bought for less than $40,000 that won over $1 million.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's, you know, where else can you have a $5,000 or a $10,000 horse? I mean, look at Lexi Lou. Lexi Lou cost $5,000 when she was bought as a yearling. She made over $1 million. We didn't buy her, so I don't want to. We didn't buy her. We bought her after she was running, but you know, she ended up running second to California Chrome. So that's the great part about our sport, is that you know, there's a lot of people you can catch lightning in a bottle, and you don't have to always spend a fortune.
Exactly.
They call it the sport of kings, but you don't always have to be a king.
Exactly. You can come in well under budget, and
right.
this was one of those opportunities, and she continues to astound. She's never failed to cash a check. She's never been worse than fifth, and just a one of the great stories of the summer. Got Stormy back to back, and now heading toward the Woodbine Mile and the Breeders' Cup. Mark, as always, fabulous.
I just want to say one thing. I want to pitch Gary Barber here for a minute.
Sure.
I don't know where he's at right now, but I think he's won 15 or 16 stakes on his own this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then who knows, maybe another 15 or 16 stakes in partnership. So, you know, here's a guy that has just had tremendous success. And I hope maybe when we get towards the end of the year, some of the voters remember that, because this guy is just an amazing guy. You'll have a tough time finding anyone that loves the game more than Gary Barber, or somebody that would deserve a Clips Award more than Gary Barber. He puts his money up, and he loves the game, and he plays it. And the sport is very fortunate to have Gary Barber.
Yeah, well said, and echo those sentiments. And is one of the people that has come into the game and, you know, started modestly and has just gotten bigger and bigger, and he just loves it. Is so enthusiastic and being rewarded appropriately. Mark, thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
I'm just glad to have you back, Steve. Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. Mark Cassie, folks. Mark E. Cassie on your Twitter machine. And we'll go ahead. And I wasn't going to break earlier, but we'll take the break here. It's almost top of the hour. Tony Black in a little bit. Debbie Easter, though, to talk about Colonial reopening. Week 2 starting at Colonial 2. And Debbie to talk about it, the Virginia Equine Alliance, and everything that's gone on. The new Colonial Downs. After this, at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether you're playing,
the quest for $1 million is underway, but there are still some great prizes to be won for those looking to jump into the TwinSpires.com $1 million road to the Kentucky Derby.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Back, we'll call it hour two. Well, because it is hour two, we will get to Tony Black in a couple of minutes. I couldn't let this first opportunity, first day back, I couldn't let it pass without a appreciation for the reopening of Colonial Downs. We tracked it for the longest time and kept rooting for and getting updates as projects kind of came and were floated and different concepts were executed to some degree and some things with great success, including the Virginia residency program and accreditation for enhancements if you came and brought a horse to Virginia, things that wanted to keep Virginia in the public eye and on the minds of horsemen and owners and breeders. And then with the announcement that the group that came to purchase Colonial, the tracking toward the reopening, the wet run back in April as the building opened and the gaming, the historic horse racing machinery started to play and work. And then last week, the resumption of racing. And so much of it is really attributable to the work, the tireless work that Debbie Easter put in to make it happen. And we welcome her back. And congratulations, Deb, to you and everybody involved in Colonial's rebirth.
Well, you're very kind, Steve, as always. But it was quite a group of us that put a whole lot of hard work into it. And I wish you could have been there on that first weekend. The crowds were great. The emotion was running high. It was it just goes to show, as you know, with it, everybody what they do to put their heart into this game. And people were just so happy to be together. And the improvements that the new Colonial has done is made the track and the atmosphere there even better. And it was something to see. Really, really, really fun.
talk about the reception and you know the conversations and the you know some of the faces that you saw and you know looking at the entries. It seems like the Mid-Atlantic Horsemen, you know, have enthusiastically embraced the book. Jill Byrne worked so hard from literally the day she was hired and put together a team and a racing office and a racing program that you know people are perusing and pointing out spots. I mean, it's just a quick 5 weeks to get things going, but it's enough of a toehold and a great way to reestablish you know what will be a fixture on the calendar again.
Oh, it's Jill and Allison DeLuca. I mean, first Jill hiring Allison, and then Allison putting together the staff that she has. We have an all-star racing office. They have just worked tirelessly to fill these races, and as you say, they've been doing a great job. And so we couldn't be happier with that. You know, you talk about what were the conversations. I mean, I don't even know there were conversations. Everybody, there were just these big, huge smiles on faces, and people such as Karen Godsey, who had lost such a great deal of her business when Colonial went away, wins a $100,000 stake, and I was in tears. It was the hugs, the kisses, everything was just super. And you know, we're giving away real money, and you know, people that are paying attention and want to ship in here, it's an opportunity to do well for 5 weeks and take some purse money home, and it's really exciting.
You know, I'm just looking at the names, and there's so many. There were so many harmonies in the first 3 days of racing that made me smile, including Jonathan Thomas getting his first opportunity to run, you know, officially under his name and with his banner. And Jonathan, of course, whose father, you know, is a longtime track super and maintained that turf course famously. For Jonathan to win a race, how about Ferris Allen winning? That was tremendous. Looking up and down, Michael Matz, John Service, Mike Stidham, Chucky Lawrence, Brendan Walsh, Tom Vance. You know, you had the jump races the other day that get incorporated into the schedule, and Leslie Young and Jonathan Shepherd with winners. Shug gets into the books as well. You mentioned the stakes races. Just tremendous. Vicky Foley shows up and wins the Nellie Cox. It just seems like it was a festival these first 3 days.
You ought to see, and you make me giggle just thinking about Vicky and her folks on after the race. I heard her on the phone talking to somebody, and I can't even repeat what she said, but oh, they were just tickled to death to win that race. So it was really fun. I mean, we just, as I go down the list, I mean, you said it, we're very lucky. Grand Motion, Arnaud Delacour, you know, I see Tom Proctor in this week, Shug, you know, some real names of the turf are sending horses this way and supporting this meet, and it's just really worked out well with the folks that we have here from Virginia. And it's not like they're taking all the money. We've got local people winning money, and it's just everybody from the community of New Kent to all sorts of. I'll have to say one of the things that was interesting Saturday. Usually you don't see a kind of crossover with the machines and racing, but I think Colonial did a very good job of bringing their machine customers in, who then were there for the races, and the tarmac out in front of the building was just packed full of people that were new to racing. And you know, hopefully they had a great time. It seemed like it, and those are maybe a situation where we can bring some of those folks which normally don't cross over into our sport, which would be spectacular.
Well, I mentioned the residency program that you guys very cleverly instituted, and you've taken on a number of clever concepts. It didn't take long for the racing club to register the win. Was that the second race or the third race? I saw you.
Yeah, no, that was Ferris's. That was Ferris Allen's first win in the second race, and we got very fortunate. We put together just some people. Some of them have been in racing. Some of them have never been in racing. And just we tried to put together something that was just directed at Colonial, where locals could, folks that had never been involved could come and see racing and enjoy the fun, and we get a win right off the bat. So sometimes you get a lot luckier than you are smart, Steve.
I got a big kick out of that you know, you got a chance to be in the spotlight right away. You know, the racing resumes today, and I didn't have a chance to look at the card, but bring us up to speed on these first couple of days of week two.
Well, I think that week one was spectacular. It looks like I haven't glanced at it as hard as I should, but it looks like the grass races are filling. Certainly, we have a harder time as everybody, because you're competing with some of the higher level races getting as big a field. But boy, I see, Saturday I see fields with 14 horses, and one of the things I was surprised about is how well the jump races have filled with the racing going up at Saratoga. And I know they're different, they're written for different horses, but those things have been filling like crazy. And as long as it's on the turf, people understand what a good turf course that we have here. And we just hope we can. I see that there are a lot of 5.5s in for today. I hope that we can fill some more of those mile and a 16th races that we all like to watch. But you got to put the races out there that people want, and those 5.5s are filling really well right now.
Well, and you mentioned that, and I'm looking, and of course the Mid-Atlantic has a very strong heritage with the turf sprinting, and horsemen love them, and they're generally pretty easy on the horses. They have a tendency to run on a regular basis. Looking today, you've got the first half of the card, 8, 7, 6 with an entry, 9 with two entries. Then the fifth race, a 9-horse field, 7, 12, 9, 14. So, nice, robust, particularly second half of the card, pick fours to start races 2 through 5 and 6 through 9. You guys have got the aggressive low takeout pick 5 that starts in race 5 tomorrow. Looks like a terrific card as well. Same thing, big most full fields in the second half. Although tomorrow you got 13 to open the card. You got 12 in the fourth race. So people that love big fields and turf racing and low takeout, it's all coming together as Colonial back on everybody's menu. And Deb, remind everybody about the residency program and some of the things that are working behind the scenes as part of this whole Virginia Equine Alliance initiative.
Sure. Well, obviously, with Colonial gone, the horsemen, we just sort of had to do what we could to keep things together. And what's turned out, the residency program, it's a little bit copied from the successful program that Delaware's had. If you send your horse here to board or train for 6 consecutive months before the end of its two-year-old year, we'll pay a 25% bonus on top of a win anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic. So that's New York all the way down to Virginia. And there's two beautiful things about it. It's been driving horses twice the level we thought to Virginia. In the first 2 years, we've had 1,500 horses come into our farms and board and train. And then the second great thing about it is it's creating this nice horse population for Colonial. We're only in year two. Our first residency horses are three-year-olds. But down the road, this is, as competitive as things are in the Mid-Atlantic and the whole East Coast for horses, it's just a nice situation that we can, have a nice horse population. We're running restricted races for Virginia Breds, Virginia Certified, and that should expand as we go out years further. So it's just been nothing but a positive for the state and our agriculture, and it's working even better than we thought it would.
Now, it was really a stroke of genius to take that money that was accruing with no races to run. It was a great use of funds, and it kept farms in business while the circumstance and the racetrack was reinstituted. So many good decisions made, and you know, you basically navigated through a incredibly difficult circumstance and came out the other side, everybody excited and happy to have Colonial back. Debbie, congratulations again. Look forward. Don't know if I'm going to get down there for this season, but sometime very soon. And I'm just so happy for everybody who I know worked so hard. It's always great when, you know, I think about this with Chicago too, you know, having the conversation we did with Mike Campbell. You know, we tracked these bad situations. Texas, another place that has seen the pendulum swing back in the right direction. It's so gratifying, you know, to track these stories and see see you guys all come out on the other side, all the horsemen, everybody so dedicated at so many different levels to be rewarded this way.
It's been great. Mike's been a big supporter and has got a lot of horses down here at Colonial. But
I see that.
It's nice. It's a needed time for some good stories in horse racing that we needed. And I just wish I could. I wish I could have videoed all the smiles and put it around and all the PR for all the bad stuff that we've had lately. But it's been great. And Steve, I'll slow down for a second and just tell you that all us fans were missing you while you're gone, and we're just wishing you the best of health, and hopefully you're on the mend, because we miss you when you're gone.
Very, very much appreciated, and happy to be back. Happy the Colonial's back. Debbie Easter, everybody, and Jill Byrne, and the whole team involved that has put Colonial back on everybody's betting menu. Deb, talk soon. We'll see you at some point this fall.
Look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Debbie Easter, she'll shield herself from the credit, but the work she put into this, and you know, to her own detriment in her own business, and you know, as a horsewoman and as you know, somebody that prepared, you know, that pinhooked and prepared young horses, and you know, put all that aside to help everybody else in and around the region. Let's take, no, we're not going to take a break. We'll stay right here because Tony Black is standing by. No need to break. I see that Tony is waiting for us. And as I mentioned, there were a couple of disappointments, obviously, that 2 weeks being sidelined. And you wouldn't think that, you know, so many things would happen that, you know, you'll regret that you couldn't be a part of, but certainly not being able to sit and watch Tony accept the honor of My Juliet being inducted into the Hall of Fame, that's something that will bother me for a long time, because we waited and we looked forward to her getting in, and then for Tony to be have the spotlight the way he did, and to so ably accept her distinction was really special. And watching it on video was fun, but it would have been better to be there to see it and to cry right in person. Tony, we're not sure if you're there or not. That's a no. So try again, guys. See if you can't pull Tony in. And there he is. I hear. I can hear him now. Tony.
Yeah, you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're good. You're good. No, I guess he's not here. I don't think he's hearing us, Casey. Why don't you pick up and
try calling me? Call me again, Kay. Call me again.
There's all right.
Wrong with the connection.
That's what he said. Casey just sent me a note. All right. So hang up. We'll Casey thinks it's his phone. So we'll come back and we'll pick up Tony again. And Give that a second. If for those of you that haven't seen it, it's on YouTube, and we'll let Tony. maybe we'll have Tony give the whole speech again. It wasn't that long, but you know, even above receiving being the recipient and acknowledging, you know, for everybody that was involved in her career, there was also the wider experience of Tony being among the Hall of Famers and all the other riders. And we haven't had a chance to talk about that. There's Tony Black back with us now, I think. Tony.
Right back. We had a little technical difficulty. I don't know.
No problem.
Then, but it's good to be back, and I'm so glad to see you back, Steve. There's only one thing that would have made my Saratoga trip any better than it really was when I went for the Hall of Fame induction, and that would have been if you were there.
Yeah,
and we'd have spent some time together, but I know you had a difficult situation, and we really missed you, Steve. I really missed you.
Well, I missed being there, Tony, and you were the absolute, you were the hit. Everybody that was there that, you know, some that weren't necessarily familiar with her career and you know, you're part of it, but everybody walked out of the ceremony just saying how much they were moved by you and what a perfect, you know, what a perfect tone you set about, you know, being a part of a horse like her and what she did for you. And our listeners, of course, have heard you talk about her, you know, for years. But to get this kind of an audience where the kind of Hall of Fame attention that comes with the distinction, that was special. And I have to imagine that your experience through all the other activities, it had to be for you as much a career highlight as anything.
Absolutely, Steve. Once again, I thought, like, this is what I was thinking. Once again, because of my Juliet's ability and accomplishments, I rode her one more time into an event I never would have been a part of if it wasn't for my Juliet and her accomplishments. It was an exciting few days that I spent up there, but just being part of this Hall of Fame induction award ceremony was a highlight of my career. And I attribute it all to my Juliet. I mean, she was a great horse, and that I had the opportunity to ride. And she did so much for me and taught me so much. And then I was allowed to express my appreciation in front of a tremendous audience. My appreciation for her. It was just like you said, a highlight of my career. I'd never be a part of a Hall of Fame induction event if it wasn't for the invitation to go there. And Brian Bouye, he organized the event and did such a great job. And it was also very fulfilling for me to be able to accredit Steve Haskin for even getting her on the ballot and then eventually getting her inducted. And I got a chance to thank him. The only thing I didn't get a chance to do is to take him out to dinner or do something for him. But if you guys come to the Pennsylvania Derby Cotillion Day, we're going to show you a good time and my appreciation for all that you've done, Steve, and Steve Haskin.
Well, we're certainly coming down, and once again, Cotillion and Pennsylvania Derby Day shaping up, you know, beautifully. We'll certainly tomorrow when we look at Alabama and the Monmouth Oaks, Jaywalk, and all the horses that are assembling for the Alabama. A lot of them are then headed to Cotillion, and same thing with the Travers horses and West Virginia Derby. Haven't talked about Mr. Money's win 2 weeks ago at all. Haven't had a chance to talk about Brett Calhoun's terrific night that that he had with Mr. Money and also with the older horse that we've really come to enjoy with James Graham, not James Graham, with Jack Gilligan. Silver Dust. We'll see you, no doubt, Tony, for Pennsylvania Derby weekend. We'll be down. The other Hall of Famers, the trainers and the jocks that come to town, and certainly with Craig Perrett being honored and finally getting in. I mean, that part of it, you know, it isn't just the ceremony on Friday afternoon. There's, you know, then the races that get presented, and you present trophies, and there's the luncheon. I mean, it's you get to stay amongst the Hall of Famers, you know, throughout the day and over the couple of nights that you stay in town. It's always special, and I always have enjoyed seeing some of the horsemen and the riders. They might only see each other once a year, or once every few years when they come to town.
Yeah, and just to listen to these people talk, it just renews your faith in racing. You know, because there's one thing you and I hate is when people talk about, racing's dead, it's on the decline. Well, it might be a little bit on the decline, but it definitely ain't dead. But, and then you listen to a person who's been in racing their whole life, like Craig Perrett. I mean, what a fabulous job Craig did. He touched on so many important points that were his life and career and racing. And I thought to myself, geez, these jocks, these old jocks like Craig and me, we were worthy of the job that was offered to us, and we were worthy of speaking in front of such a gracious and important crowd. You know, Craig did a great job, and I knew over the years how many times were we talking, when's he going to get, inducted?
Yep.
So it was he was like a My Juliet, and Craig Perrett, it was like the two entities that took time to get there, but once they got there, it's greatly appreciated. And he did a great job. His speaking was so to the point. And I enjoyed the whole event. I'll tell you what, I'll never forget it. And I took my son, Pete, get all the names mixed up. Pete and Kylie went, and they were in the audience. And I looked over to the side when I was closing, and my little boy's got tears running down his face of pride for me. I mean, how can in your life can you do something that someone can be so proud of you while you're doing it, that is bringing tears of joy to his face? And then I got a chance to even bring him into the talk and tell him how much I love him. And all my kids, I wish they could have been there, but they couldn't. But my Pete was there and Kylie was there, and it just topped off the whole event, just them being there.
Yeah, it was even by video. I could tell how moving it was and special. And of course, the rest of the class, the rest of the induction classes, including the Pillars of the Turf, and the emotion that was tied to Mary Lou Whitney and her induction, and it's always one of the highlights of the summer at Saratoga, and made extra special this year, Tony, with your involvement. Just tremendous.
And I was even glad to be able to bring, I didn't bring him with me, but one of the grooms of My Juliet, and one of the
that was great
under the barn, Jim Maloney. And I thought myself, and he says, when I told him what I was going to do, he says, don't do too much. I said, Jim, just sit here. You rubbed her. You were in the barn. Hey, Rusty Arnold was in the barn at that particular time. You know what was going on, Jim. So he enjoyed it afterwards, because I didn't make him say anything or stand up, So, but he was just proud to be there. And everybody that was connected with My Juliet, Even the Marsh's family and their breeders, they're the grandchildren of Bittersworth, the man who bred my Joliet, and they were there. So it was really just a great event. And like I said, the only thing would have made it better if you were there. But I'm glad you're on the mend and you take care of yourself, because we need you. You're one of the reasons that racing gets highlighted and put on a positive light because of you and the job that you do, Steve. And I thank you so much for this, because racing is a great sport. I love it. And it ain't dead.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Tony, I appreciate it. And good to be back here. And I wanted to make sure that you had a chance to, you know, to acknowledge everybody, that there were so many well-wishers, our listeners, and well beyond. And then, you know, I put stuff up on Facebook, and so many people that, you know, were just were touched by it and happy for you and for, you know, and for the mayor. And it really was it was special. And I'm just delighted for, you know, for the way the whole thing turned out. It was really nice. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Steve. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to be part of this show.
Tony Black. Tony, we'll talk next week. Looking forward to the big finish here, summer at Saratoga and everywhere else, Ellis and Del Mar. And got a big weekend coming up. And then the biggest race of the season at Saratoga, of course, the Travers. Tony Black, everybody. 90 minutes in, 90 to come. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. Steve Askin going to join us. And I got to see Steve and Joan the other day. They came out with Avi and Rhoda Friedberg to say hi and spend some time. That was nice. Had a couple of visitors over the 2 weeks. Take a break here. Come back second half. Steve Askin and Lenny Shulman, who was in town. Lenny's in for the next 10, 12 days. And he's got a book signing. He and Jennifer Kelly with the Sir Barton story. And Lenny with his latest as well, the Justify. 111 days to haul the Triple Crown glory. So Lenny's available to sign. I think he sent me a signed book, so I don't have to go. I don't have to go over, but you can. You have to go see Lenny. Back after this.